never going to happen for me.
Yeah, microphone. I need that. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to call today's meeting of the Energy, Climate and Energy Committee to order. First on the agenda is the minutes from March 12th. Representative Kraft, have you had a chance to look at the minutes from March 12th?
Madam Chair, I have, and I move their approval.
Wonderful. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. There we go. So we've got a pretty short agenda today, but a pretty dense bill, a meaty bill. It's lots of info. So let's see, Representative Hollins, I was looking for the number. Oh, no, don't do that. So
House File 4558.
Wonderful. So Representative Hollins moves House File 4558 to be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary. Representative Hollins, it looks like you have an author's amendment.
That is correct.
Yep. So Representative Hollins moves the A1 to get the bill in the shape she would like to discuss the bill. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Welcome, Representative Hollins. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Chair Akam. I apologize for laughing. A meaty bill. I don't know. This is just that turn just made me laugh. No problem. Thank you, Chair Akam, committee members. Happy to be here at the front of the room with you today. This is, as Chair Akam put it, a meaty bill. It is dense and complicated, and that's why I'm so thankful to have some advocates here who are more well-versed in this than I am. But I will go ahead and give a short introduction. So electricity, gas, and water are essential services, and we cannot live without them. Their provision, as the United States Supreme Court and this legislature had declared these public services to be in the public interest. And that's why we've regulated utilities providing these essential services. When tenants in buildings are direct customers of our state's utility companies, they all have consumer protections under the Public Utilities Act. Minnesota rules, Minnesota municipal ordinances, and cooperative utility by law and longstanding utility doctrine. But when tenants live in buildings where they are not directly connected to the utility, when the utility service comes from the building and is passed through by the housing provider, they have none of these protections. And unfortunately, they have seen serious problems when this is the case. Housing providers in these shared metered buildings install, read, and maintain the meters. They calculate utility charges and bill and collect from tenants for utility services, or they apportion, quote unquote, utility usage based on some formula they are permitted to devise. In passing through utility services to tenants and performing these utility functions, housing providers and third-party billers step into the shoes of regulated utility companies. They have all the privileges and benefits of regulated utilities, but none of the obligations and responsibilities. For tenants in directly metered buildings, their rates are regulated by the PUC. They have the right to payment agreements if they fall behind. They are protected from shutoff in the winter, and they are protected if they are overcharged. They are assured that the meters are accurate and meet industry standards, and they have the ability to go to the PUC if they can't resolve a utility dispute with their utility company. However, tenants in shared metered buildings use the same electrons, therms, and gallons as tenants in directly metered buildings, but have none of those rights or protections. This bill places tenants in shared metered buildings on the same footing as tenants in directly metered buildings. I believe there's a letter of support in your packet from the Citizens Utility Board, and there are several other organizations supporting this bill, including the Minnesota Attorney General, Washington County, Housing Justice Center, Student Legal Services, Minnesota Community Action Partnership, Minnesota Council on Veterans, and Homeline. We've also engaged other stakeholders, the Minnesota Department of Commerce, Xcel Energy, CenterPoint Energy, Minnesota Power, the Minnesota Rural Electric Association, and the Minnesota Municipal Utilities Association, and the Minnesota Manufactured and Modular Home Association. I also want to express my appreciation to the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association for engaging in a very productive discussions with us, As we move to judiciary, we are going to continue working with MHA to work on an amendment to Chapter 504B. This amendment will address a major concern they've brought to us, which is continuing to allow the apportionment of natural gas and water services. While electricity can and should be metered, MHA has noted that metering of natural gas and water is rare and in some cases difficult or impossible to do. So we look forward to working with MHA to establish a fair statutory formula to protect tenants and help housing providers. Finally, I want to express my deep thanks to the PUC. The PUC has provided significant technical assistance, and their interest and willingness to provide an objective and knowledgeable forum for the resolution of disputes in these shared metered buildings is a linchpin to what we are trying to accomplish. I would love to earn your support on this bill. And I also have Ron Elwood from Legal Aid to be here to answer questions and provide testimony.
Welcome to committee, Mr. Elwood. Would you state your name for the record, please, and proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Ron Elwood with Legal Aid, and I really appreciate Representative Hollins carrying the bill for us. Happy to answer a lot of questions. I know you probably have a bunch of questions on what we're trying to do. But the overriding thing is essentially making tenants who reside in buildings where they don't get directly metered from the utility company, putting them on the same footing with the same consumer protections, because right now it's apples and oranges and the problems have been pretty serious. Members of the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association provide an invaluable service. They provide housing to thousands and thousands of tenants across the state. And their members are typically members that follow the law and do the right thing. But unfortunately, not every landlord in the state is a member of that association. And frankly, problems that have arisen in terms of illegal reselling of service, disconnection of utility service, not by the utility, but by a housing provider, which should never happen, upcharging on rates, and we could go on and on. Over the summer, we called together all of these stakeholders that Representative Hollins had mentioned to discuss the problem and identify and agree, is there a problem that we need to solve? Everyone, the third-party billers, everybody at that room said, yes, this system needs to change, and this bill represents the change that we have all come together to effect. So with that, I'll stop, and I know you'll likely have a lot of questions. We're happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. And I believe there was one person who signed up to provide comments, Cecil Smith. Welcome to committee, Mr. Smith, with the Minnesota Housing Multi-Housing Association. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
I thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cecil Smith. I'm the President and CEO of the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. We have approximately 2,200 members with over 300,000 rental units in the state of Minnesota, serving nearly 600,000 Minnesotans for their housing needs. I want to share our appreciation for the engagement on House File 4558 with the other stakeholders, especially Legal Aid and the Office of the Attorney General. With the commitment from other stakeholders to continue efforts to resolve the outstanding concerns, we feel comfortable if the proposal moves forward today. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, appreciate that. And with that, those are all of our testifiers. And so maybe we'll open it up to members' questions or comments. Did you have a comment, Mr. Elwood? Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair and members, there is one thing I want to add. In the heat of getting this together, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Eloff for preparing the amendment with such short notice. Our conversations bumped up against the deadlines, and he was amazing to get this done. But one thing I want to mention that is not in this amendment that we plan to put on in judiciary, we've been working with the Minnesota Modular Manufactured Housing Association, and it's important that they have their own statute, 327C, which addresses utility charges in those dwellings. They have their own separate deal, and we need to exempt them from this bill, which we will. It just was too late to get it into this amendment. So I want to just commit here publicly that in the next at the next stop, we will make sure that they are exempted from this bill. We've been working with that association as well. They've been part of the stakeholder group. So I just want to put that on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. Any questions from members? Any is there? We had public testimony. Yep. Any questions? I know that Mr. Elwood has been working on this for a number of years. You have brought this up to me in the past, so appreciate the hard work and the commitment to getting it to this point, and so I thank you for that. As I'm searching my colleagues for any feedback or questions, not seeing any. Are we going to get off this easy? Seriously? Any closing comments? Representative Hollins.
Thank you. I would appreciate your support.
Representative Swazinski.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
So close.
Yeah, sorry.
Representative Swazinski.
You know, so if this bill passes, you know, what is potentially going to be the cost to help? You know, if you're affected by it, like the installation of a meter, like what is the, you know, if you're trying to just provide someone and you have a building that's the shared deal, like what's it going to cost either the landowner or the renter to pay for that? What is the estimated cost that this new bill is going to put on folks?
Mr. Elwick?
Madam Chair and Representative Swazinski, actually the cost would virtually be no different than it is today for either the tenant or the landlord. Submetering, which goes on today, would continue to go on. Apportionment that goes on today for water and gas would continue to go on, but just through a slightly more, a statutory formula that we're working on, which we will be coming together on, which is a judiciary issue because it's in 504B. So it's really making sure that the person who lives in a building who gets their electricity, gas, and water passed through by the housing provider, which they're essentially an end user utility customer, but they're not directly connected, is just placed on the same footing as that person who's directly connected to XL Energy, CenterPoint, the municipal water company, and with the same protections and the rates would be the way they charge the rates, passing through the rates would be essentially the same as they do today. So there would be, in our view, there's no real cost one way or the other. I would mention one thing. In the bill, in the amendment, actually, I would draw your attention to on line 2.14, we have added a provision in there whereby the costs of putting in the submetering should be borne by the landlord and put in the rent just like any other expense. However, we've acknowledged that if in fact there is damage done by the tenant's willful, malicious, or negligent conduct, that would be a charge that could be passed along to the tenant. So that was one cost factor, I guess, if you will, that we've included, I think, to be fair.
Any follow-up, Representative Swazinski? No. Seeing no other questions or comments, Representative Hollins, closing.
Thank you for your time, committee. I would like to renew my motion.
That House File 4558 be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion prevails, and the bill is being re-referred. Thank you, members. That was our only business today. So unless there's some Representative Garofalo is.
Yeah, well, Madam Chair, I had something I shared with you that I thought would be informative for the committee.
I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
You could just trust me and we could put it up on the screen right now. I mean, it's a U.S. Senate committee hearing, so you can't really think anything crazy is going to be there. But if you don't want to, it's all right. I get it.
I'll watch it soon.
All right. Okay.
With that, everybody, we are adjourned.